You're listening to The Roofer Report, the ultimate podcast for roofing professionals, business owners, and entrepreneurs. Get insider access and hear about the highs, lows, and tales of triumphs from thriving business owners. Brought to you by Roofer, hosted by Pete McKendrick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to The Roofer Report. I'm your host, Pete McKendrick, and we are back with another great episode here. We have been doing this Roofer of the Month series for about a year now to some newer companies, some growing companies. I just did one the other day with a company that's been in business 41 years. One of the things that has come up a few times and has made this podcast so timely is commercial roofing. What we're finding is we have these guys on our platform that are residential roofers, and they want to try to branch out a little bit. Maybe they're looking to open a second office. Maybe they're looking to branch out from just doing residential roofing and trying to find another trade to do. And so the first logical place to look is commercial roofing. And I think what's happening is a lot of people are finding that a very daunting idea, a very different animal than residential roofing. So I think contractors have a tendency to shy away from it. Very excited to have this conversation today about commercial roofing with my guest, Brian Mitchell. So welcome, Brian. Excited to have you on. I'll give you a second here to kind of intro yourself and your attachment to the roofing industry, if they're not familiar with you, and then we can dive into the commercial bit.
All right, great. Yeah, well, let me start by saying the good news about getting into commercial is you still use roofer. It's an essential part of commercial roofing. I love it for it. The first thing I'll have to say is I'm old, right? I come from an estimating background. I started in the 90s. Prior to that, I was building boats, sailboats. I actually sailed here from South Africa and suddenly realized why I was attracted to the roofing industry, because a roof is just an upside down boat, right? So it made complete sense.
Very interesting.
But anyhow, in my career in the estimating world, I was eventually general manager of Estimating Edge, and I got a couple of clients going in on the commercial side estimating. When I left the company, one of them hired me. He had a little roofing company losing money, and we got it going, started with one service truck. And last year he sold it, and it was not far away from 200 million.
Wow.
So he did incredibly well. We ended up, we had about 30 service trucks. He was doing 60 or 70 million in re-roof. So we kind of saw it all. But the really intriguing thing to me, because I was actually with them twice. I took a break where I actually went into, and you'll laugh at this after you hear me talk for a while, but I was in the ministry. People called me a pastor overseas. I didn't qualify for it in America. I realized that what we set up as a structure right at the beginning, and the owner I worked with was an MBA, and we had a brilliant CPA with us. The structure we set up right from the beginning is the same structure we were using as a $70 million roofing company. It's incredible. So there's a process, there's a structure, there's also a why that we need to talk about. So I don't know, did I do okay introducing myself?
You did. And I think you undersold yourself a bit. I know that you worked for a short time with the sales transformation guys, right?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I reached out to them because I'm good friends with a couple of those guys. And I said, hey, do you know this guy, Brian? And they said, when it comes to commercial roofing, he's the man. They said the guys that are out there on stage talking about their successes in commercial roofing learned everything they know from Brian. That's what they told me. So you undersold yourself a little bit, I think, there. Very humble introduction.
I'm probably going to get some commission from those guys. I'll check the mail after this.
Yeah, definitely a glowing recommendation from that group. But yeah, welcome to the show. And yeah, like I said, I'm excited for this one because I just did a ton of deep dive research on the commercial side of the roofing world. And for a lot of us, it's the fact that it's just very foreign, right? Most of our guys come up through the residential side. They start a residential roofing business. That's where their comfort level is. And the commercial side, with the exception of, like we were talking about, some steep slope things. Maybe I'm re-roofing a church or a multifamily home. That's essentially just a slightly bigger house, right? But the true commercial is a bit different and obviously foreign to a lot of people. And so I think they are skeptical about going into it and adding that piece to their business. So I think this will be a really good conversation to make people understand how feasible it is and how successfully they could be on that side of the world.
I promise you, I'm going to tell you everything I know. I'm not holding back. And of course, it's only going to take 3 minutes. But I got a couple of guys that we've worked with who, after 6 months, have multi-million dollar commercial roofing companies. I'm like, oh my gosh, why do these people do it so much better than I did?
That's crazy. Yeah. Well, I mean, let's get into it. Let's say I'm a residential roofer. Maybe I've been in business a couple of years. Maybe I'm to that point where we've established ourselves locally in our market. We're looking to potentially expand our offering. So many times we see roofers go into other trades or potentially move into a neighboring market, opening a second office. But there could potentially be an untapped resource there right in their own neighborhood, right in their own market, if they were to branch into commercial roofing. So what would be step one if I'm a residential guy and I'm considering this? What should I be looking at from the commercial side?
First of all, let me say you are in a fantastic position to do this, because commercial roofing needs a brand, it needs name recognition, and it needs marketing. It does not come to you, right? You got to go out and get it. The other thing I'd suggest is you keep an open mind about how you run the commercial division, because the sales compensation is not the same. The sales people are not the same. The clients aren't the same. So we do have to do it a little differently. But what I'd suggest to you first is to understand the benefit to your client before you. We will talk about the benefit to you, absolutely, right? Most people are tuned into that radio station, WIIFM. You know that one?
What's in it for me?
Yeah. But the right way to do this is first to think about what the benefits are for your client. And then I want to talk about what services you should be offering. Because most guys think, okay, we're going to go fix leaks and do re-roofs. There are about 7 or 8 products we really have to be aware of in order to get into commercials. First of all, you can help your clients extend the life of their roofs, right? So let's say you have $1 million roof or $500,000 roof. If through my services, you can extend the life of that roof 5 or 10 years, you're going to keep most of that $500,000 or $1 million in your pocket for the next 5 or 10 years. So I like to have the CPAs in the conversation when I'm talking to potential clients, because they like saying, that's a no-brainer. You can also offer them services other than tearing off their roof. A re-roof in a commercial building is like a heart transplant in a human being. You rip its chest open and you make a noise and you tear everything off, and it hurts for a long time afterwards.
Yeah.
So, but there are a lot of other things we can offer. Do restorations to extend the life to get the most value. The commercial side of roofing is a business at the edge of sophistication. We don't have any formal roofing training. HVAC guys, way ahead, because you can go to school for that, right? So we need to just recognize the value of yourself to a commercial building owner. It's enormous. It's enormous value, but people need that explained to them. Because every building owner you know probably has his teeth cleaned every 6 months, probably has his oil changed every 3,000 miles, probably has his HVAC checked every 30 days, but never thinks of his roof. And that's his most expensive asset, and it protects everything else.
Yeah.
So we have to be talking to the building owner. So let's just talk about the benefits to the contractor, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to encourage you as a contractor to lead with service. And I'll tell you why. Under 10% of roofs get replaced every year, because roofs last 20 to 25 years according to the manufacturer's specifications. According to the NRCA recently, an unmaintained roof will last 10 to 14 years.
Oh, wow.
They actually published those numbers. I'm like, whoa, that's more aggressive than what I say. Then they say a maintained roof will last 15 to 20. But a managed roof, a roof that's under a managed maintenance agreement, will last 25 to 30 and above. So that's from the NRCA, an organization that we both highly respect, I'm sure. If you lead with service, 100% of roofs need service. About 10% need to be replaced. While you're finding that 100% where you've got an opportunity to do work, you will uncover the 10%. That service business is very profitable. So we need to take that approach. That's going to give you this consistent revenue. In fact, we put ourselves in a position where we had so many ongoing maintenance contracts, we would open our doors every year with millions of dollars of maintenance work to do. So we had a backup. We didn't have to send people home. The other thing is you're now the top of mind of contractors, right? What do marketing people say? You can only remember so many of your favorite sodas, so many of your favorite snacks, so many of your favorite scotches, you know, whatever it is. So who's your favorite roofer? Most people tell me, I don't like my roofer. He doesn't show up when he says he will.
Yeah.
And so it's actually not that hard to take over a lot of business from people. It's highly profitable. It's scalable. It's repeatable. If you're taking care of the roof, you know when it's going to need to have a coating or be reskinned before anybody else. We're not in a bidding war here. We're ahead of the game. We know when it needs to get re-roofed. And if you take that approach, you're going to have something that's scalable and proportionately scalable, because you'll find, I'm just going to talk in millions, and I know guys aren't in the million category here, but just for simplicity's sake, for every million you do in service and repairs, you'll do 4 to 5 million in re-roof. It happens that way. It happened that way for us for 20 years. Literally, in our case, it was 5 to 7 times.
Wow.
So the one complements the other. So don't think of this as, I got to get into doing a multi-million dollar roof. God's gift to roofers is low slope roofing. The water does not shed. The water doesn't get off the roof.
Yeah.
It's finding places to get off the roof, and it's usually not the drains because they're not sloped properly. The thing about residential roofing, it's steep slope. Water gets off that roof. So you need something to slow it down so that it'll go into the building like a hole. You know? Commercial roofing, you don't have that issue. It just stays up there. And while I'm on the topic of God, there are probably only three things that cause roofs to fail. And the first one is God, right? Acts of God, we call it in legal terms. And I'm not talking about tornadoes and hurricanes. I'm just talking about the sun. You leave that thing outside all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
In addition to that, we do get wind. We do get debris. We do get tree limbs. So acts of God, God is still in charge. That roof is going to deteriorate quickly. And like the NRCA said, you just spend $1 million on your roof, maybe 14 years you're going to get out of it. The second thing is acts of idiots. Now, forgive me for calling them idiots, but these guys are literally walking around your roof with like golf spikes on them. They're dropping things. They're cigarette burns. The HVAC guys aren't putting the panels on tightly. The wind rattles them off, and now they roll across making holes. Those people are just another gift, because another reason that you have to be up there keeping an eye on the roof. And then the third thing is lack of maintenance. And if you put a roof under a managed maintenance program, those other two things are going to get taken care of as well, because you're on the roof on a regular basis.
I can say that when I was a contractor out in the field, I experienced all three of those. We weren't roofers. We were general contractors, and we remodeled a house that had a big flat roof section on the back. And I experienced all three versions of what you just said. We had an act of God, a tree that had hit it. We had a lack of maintenance, which caused an entire re-roof. And then we had the roof re-roofed, and we had a guy go up there to do some work, and he threw supplies over the wall onto the roof and put a huge dent in it that had to get fixed. So I experienced all in like a matter of a week. So I can definitely agree with you on all that stuff.
You could have written my course for me.
Yeah.
It took me 20 years to learn that.
I think it was 4 days I saw all that happen. So.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I find this very interesting because the things that you're mentioning, I've seen help contractors find success even on the residential side.
Yes.
You know, one of the success stories that I tell is a contractor that I worked with years ago. One of the things that he had done to help his own business was set up maintenance agreements with his homeowners, and he would sell it as part of his re-roof package. And so he would say, hey, called us to re-roof your house. We're going to go ahead and do that, but we're also going to sell you this package that's whatever, $250 a year, let's say, and quarterly, we're going to come out here and check on things. And so it kept him top of mind. Like you said, he's the guy to call if you have an issue with your roof. He's in the neighborhood all the time, so everybody else is seeing him. And super smart, it's recurring revenue for him. Like you said, he's opening his year with a stack of these maintenance contracts, and he's banking thousands of dollars before he's even scheduled his first roof. Genius. And I had another contractor that said, we're adding probably $500,000 to our bottom line with two repair techs that are just running around doing repairs.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, stop the podcast. Guys, go do that. Do what he said.
Yeah.
Because that's absolutely true. That is the way to build it. Now, on the commercial side, there are a couple of other things that you need to take into account. But just to go back to what you said, all of the guys who are teaching you how to build your residential business, talk about when you got a re-roof to saturate that neighborhood, right? You have an opportunity to saturate that neighborhood four times a year now with that agreement that you just got.
Right. Yeah, exactly, right?
So much better. But now, on the commercial side, I want you to consider about six different products that you need to be offering on this maintenance and repair and service end of the business. Because most people think we're going to go fix leaks. Now, you absolutely are going to go fix leaks, and you need to be very good at it. If you get called back to fix it again, you don't make any profit. And you will not get the third call, your competitor.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to be good at it. That's not difficult to do. We'll even talk about that a little bit today. But the first product I think you should offer is what we would call time and material. The better way to do this is like a half day, full day opportunity. So someone calls you, I got a leak. You say, do you want me to come and fix it? Or do you want a quote? They say, I want you to come and fix it. You say, this is our rate. It's a half day rate or a full day rate. And that's the way we go. If you want to split it into three, but time and material is so complicated to manage and bill and what have you. That's a simple way to do it. However, your goal needs to be getting that time and material turned into a quoted scope of work. Because I would want your average job size to be between $5,000 and $7,000 up to $10,000 for service. So I'm not talking about $1,000 repairs. Right? That call that I took a minute ago, the guy said, come and fix my roof. Right? He didn't want a quote. I would explain to him immediately, so the reason your roof is leaking is probably not an isolated incident. Now, it could be that a guy threw a can over the wall and made a big hole in the membrane, but I absolutely, as a professional, can guarantee you that there are other issues on your roof that you should know about. And what I'm going to do after we fix your problem, I'm going to inspect your roof thoroughly. And I'll give you a list, a prioritized list of what you should fix first, what you should fix second, what you should fix next. If you do all of that work, your roof will actually qualify for my ongoing maintenance program. Because I cannot maintain a roof that's got deferred maintenance, right? Between you and I, that what are we going to do?
Right.
This bit or that bit. So we need to get it up to speed. So every time you answer the phone or you contact someone about a roof problem, I just told you what to do if they just want to come and fix it. Guess what you do if they need a quote? Exactly the same thing. that's going to be your primary driver of business. And that is going to feed your ongoing maintenance agreements that we spoke about earlier. Every re-roof is going to feed an ongoing maintenance agreement. You're going to accumulate those ongoing maintenance agreements, and your grandchildren are going to thank you for it. Mine are. You should also work with manufacturers to do their warranty work. That's just a no-brainer. There's so many contractors that don't want to do that, that your manufacturer is going to love you. And guess what happens when your manufacturer loves you? You get work.
Yeah.
And then another area that's a good place to look for business is big cold storage areas, big grocery chains, people that are making changes to their roofs on a regular basis. Malls, strip malls, cooling, cold storage, that kind of thing. Because those are bigger contracts, and you generally get to give them a price. And so you can just act this out exactly like I just described.
Yeah. Schools, I think, are a good one. We had what's interesting here in Kentucky, we had some big storms earlier in the year, and we've had a tremendous amount of residential roofing going on. But what happened is, as soon as school ended and the summer came, all of the schools got new roofs. Well, I watched the high school down the road here. That project's been going on for probably a month. And like you said, it's probably $1 million roof. It's a massive building, multiple levels, all kinds of cut-ins and air conditioning units up there. The labor involved in it, I've watched them do it, has been tremendous. They're still up there. School has started, and they're still up there finishing it. There's just a lot of opportunity there. Talk a little bit about, maybe I'm a residential roofer, maybe I'm established in my area. How do I find these jobs? Is it a cold call situation? Do I go out and say, hey, I'm a commercial roofer now and hope somebody calls me? Do I offer inspections to get up there and start the ball rolling on these service contracts? What's the best method to break into that side of the business?
Private schools don't have money to re-roof often. If you take care of them, you will get those re-roofs. 80% of commercial roofs get re-roofed prematurely. How about that for an opportunity?
Yeah.
It's incredible. So we've got to get that message out, right? We've got to educate those people. So we've got a very small group of people we're trying to reach. People who make building decisions, building owners, property managers, facilities guys, people who influence decisions on the roof. And we need to find them. Just take an aerial and look at which roofs you would like to work on. So there are some great products out there. I happen to be looking at a name of a great product in those aerials. But so yeah, let's say I identify 100 roofs that I'm like slobbering at the mouth. Like you said, that's $1 million roof. I need to find who's the owner and who's the tenant, and I can reach out to them directly. And then we can say, when was your roof last inspected? Do you have any roof problems? You know, a question that I started asking that got me a lot of good responses was, because the receptionist takes the call, right? And I just said to them, if you had a major roofing issue right now, your roof collapsed or it was leaking terribly onto your head, who in your company would you run to help you? And a lot of them would say, my gosh, what a great question. Why didn't we know that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that's one way. And by the way, I just want to remind your audience, only 20% of your service business should be reactive. 80% has got to be proactive. Quoted work. Only 20% of your commercial roofing business should be service. 80% should be re-roof and restoration, right? The old 80-20 rule, that Italian chap knew what he was talking about. People who make roofing decisions belong to organizations, right? Certainly property managers, certainly facilities companies. You need to put yourself in a position that you can educate them about commercial roofing. So we know the message we want to give them, but nobody knows anything about commercial roofing because how do you learn it? You have to go take a roofing license, right?
Yeah.
So what I did, I put together about 180 slides teaching people about what are the different type of roof decks, what are the different types of insulation, what are the different types of membranes. You can have samples of all of those. People love to play with those things. Oh, gosh, is this what a membrane looks like? I thought it was like a tar truck that you came and poured. So get into those associations, get into educating people, and then get into the committees of those associations. Because that changes your relationship with those people, right? Because if you're on a committee or on a board or even the president of the association, people start coming to you with questions. You're no longer chasing them as a roofer trying to get business. So you just get yourself into that position. People often say to me, man, that's expensive. I say, do you have a local college? We went to the local college and we said, hey, do you have any like marketing students who would like to see how a real business works? My last quarter in business, I had 10 interns in my office.
Oh, wow.
Now, if you know anything about property managers and facilities companies, those guys have a cocktail party 3 times a week and then a golf tournament on the weekend and a fishing tournament on Sunday. I could not keep up with those. But guess who else likes to party? College students. I actually got to a point where I would send roofs birthday cards.
That's funny. We actually have had that suggestion from another person on the residential side. He said, how often do you communicate to a person when it's the 1 year anniversary of their roof?
Exactly. You got to be reminding them that thing is getting older. It's like you. Now you're wearing glasses and then your hearing aid.
No, but I do think this is a very interesting angle of it. How are you getting in front of these people? And then how are you staying top of mind? As you're saying these things, I'm saying these are the same things we tell people in residential roofing, right? It's like, these are some exactly. things you could be doing in your business to give you a competitive advantage. And it's the same things that you're preaching on the commercial side.
Could I add, there are a couple of differences.
Absolutely, yeah. I know for a fact that there are some considerable differences, like talking with one of the roofers that we have that uses our product that does both. He said the biggest challenges for him on the commercial side are the lead time to signing a contract is much more involved. It could take 6 months to a year to land a contract as opposed to, you know, a week. And then obviously the production time, like I mentioned, I've been watching these guys roof this school for over a month.
So, guess when you get paid?
Yeah.
When you're working on the roof or sometimes when it's finished.
Somewhere down the road,
That's why we got to lead with that service side. The sales side is different. The compensation side is different. The estimating is different. Some of the administration tracking stuff is different. And I'm pleased to say the profit is different, positively.
Talk a little bit about the estimating, because I think that's where people lose sight. I think a roof is a roof. I'm going to quote it the same way. So what's needed on the commercial side that potentially is not needed on the residential side in order to sell a job from an estimating standpoint?
Yeah. So you win your work at the estimating table in the commercial business. That's where you're going to win your work.
Yeah.
Because you are going to value engineer. You're going to come up with the best system for that roof and the most price effective system. And very often the question you're going to ask your owner, how dry do you want to be? You know, do you want to be $1 million dry or do you want to be $1.5 million dry? Because I could do either roof system for you. Which one do you want? Now, I come from an estimating background, right? So I might have a little bit of bias here. But I want to know down to the screw what's going on that roof. Because if I truly know my cost, I can adjust my margins. But when I'm starting to guess without knowing my cost, it's going to cost me probably more than it should. So it's got to be detailed. It's got to be accurate. You've got to get a roofer report. You've got to get a core sample. You've got to do the diligence in order to estimate the roof correctly, which means you've not only got to have a good estimate, you've got to have a really good takeoff. What roofer did for me, which I absolutely loved, is I got all the dimensions. I did not have to sit and try and draw this octagonal building on a piece of But I still needed to go up there and core it high, core it low. what are the walls made up? If it's a concrete wall, it's going to take you a lot longer to get your membrane up there than if it's a wood wall. And that's going to affect your price. I've been sort of touching on the labor side, the production rates. How long does it take a guy to do a wall flashing? Now, the good news is a guy in Oregon and a guy in Kentucky and a sober guy in Kentucky and a guy in North Carolina are going to do it about the same rate, 15 to 20 foot in an hour. But you need to know those rates in order to be a good estimator. On the repair side, I pre-estimated the entire NRCA repair manual. I pre-estimated it. Because if you and I go up and get on a TPO roof, we're going to find the same, like I'll give you a list of 50 things. It'll be one of those things or some of those things every time.
Every time.
So if you pre-estimate it, you're putting yourself almost into more of a residential roof of framework here, because now guys can go sell it knowing their numbers. Yeah. And I want to have a salesman selling commercial roofing. I don't want a roofer. Because there's no formal roofing training, you don't know what you're going to get from a roofer, right? Who taught you? Your grandpappy? Well, we're not doing cold tar pitch anymore. Yeah, estimating is critical. And on the re-roof side, you need a lot of estimators to be successful. Because your closing ratio is going to be somewhere around 30% or probably less. So if you want to do $1 million, multiply that by 3 in estimates. If you want to do 10, multiply it by 3 or 5. And those estimates, you don't do them in 5 minutes. Some of them take several days to do them accurately. Now, the good news is on the repair side, if you follow my suggestion and pre-estimate it or just call me, you can have my pre-estimated list. Then you don't need a lot of estimators. You might need one, because how big a mistake are you going to make on a $5,000 repair? I often talk about estimating as the hourglass, right? If you think of an hourglass, up here is all that stuff that you're looking at for the takeoff. All those things, how many penetrations, how long are the curbs, how many pitch pans are there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What's the deck? What's the thickness of the insulation? How are we going to get on it? How are the walls? All of that. And then it comes down to the middle of the hourglass, which is that dollar number you give for your bid. But then if you win that job, first of all, you're going to be thinking, oh man, what did I leave out? Why did I win that job? So good estimate helps with that. But now you got to break that all out and produce it and then job cost it. So doing a detailed estimate from the beginning is really how you're going to make your money in the long run.
I love this because on the residential side, we obviously see a lot of proposals, a lot of quotes come through Roofer, right? Even today, with all of the tools that are available, we still see the predominant way of quoting as being scope of work, which is just very general, a very simplistic way in theory to quote, unless you have come up with some magic formula to figure it out.
You know, you're doing tile, it's 850 a square.
Yeah, you're averaging a number. So yeah, some jobs you're probably making a little bit more, some jobs you're probably making a little bit less and just hoping at the end of the year it kind of pans out. Where, like you said, being super detailed now allows you at the quote, more or less, to know where you're going to be at the end.
Run the job.
Yeah, that's true too. Like it definitely plays into how your production runs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very interesting. And I think that it's a method that should be applied on the residential side probably more than it is, because we just look at the roof, it's this many squares, multiply it by a number that we've figured out over the last 5 years of doing business, and we run with it, which that's great. It does make it easy to quote and makes it easy for me to train somebody to quote. But how accurate is it really?
Right. And if you start dabbling in multifamily, suddenly it turns out those things have got these vent pipes and these exhaust fans. And then there's a little low slope area where they got the air conditioning units. And then it's a different ballgame.
Yeah. The complexity obviously plays a much bigger part in it. The amount of obstructions and penetrations on that roof is incredible. Like just looking at it from the street, I can see so much stuff up there. I was thinking like, that's a nightmare. Like,
yeah. And they can still work because sometimes the school says, okay, you can start after four. I've got to keep my guys busy before you're not paying me for that time.
So I love this. This is some great advice. Like if I'm looking to get into it, obviously step one that makes the most sense is let's go the service route, right? It's easier. Now, how do you handle the production side of the service? Are you having dedicated techs? If you have dedicated techs, how many are you putting into play? Explain a little bit about if I'm going to go that route, I'm listening to this and I think, you know what, he's right. Let's do it. Let's go into commercial service. From a production side of things, how do I handle that?
Yeah. So first of all, we need to think about our audience again. I don't really want to be calling guys who've got a gas station with two pumps. When I go look at their roof, there are four tins of plastic cement that somebody else poured or they poured. I'm looking for people who want to invest in their building, are thinking of it for the long term. These are people with a budget. So let's select those roofs like I was saying earlier.
It's interesting that you said you're looking for a repair that's $5,000 to $7,000. I mean, that's essentially the price of a lot of re-roofs in some markets.
Yeah, exactly. We are not going to haggle with the gas station owner. When you find those guys, first of all, they got money. It makes sense to them. They want to maintain their buildings. They're probably protecting. I got a client who just flooded a building. It's costing them $15 million to fix it. Wow. We're looking for that kind of a client who'll at least talk to us, right? Now, that kind of a client is not going to be happy with your sub that you use, who you say, hey, get out there on Tuesday and fix that roof. And they don't even bother to ask you which Tuesday. It will be a Tuesday, I promise you. As soon as possible, get yourself two techs internal to do that and a truck. Now, the good news about that truck running at capacity can make you about $750,000 a year at about 60% gross margin.
Yeah.
I've got clients who are running a truck at $1 million a year. We've got guys at 500,000. Pick a number around there, but you think about two guys working 8 hours a day and the markup and the materials, that's where you're going to be at. So it's worth it. Another thing that's really helpful about having that, and by the way, I like box trucks or a cargo van because I want really a rolling warehouse. The way I got my best clients was probably from referrals. That's a company I want to do the roofs for. That's someone who's got a couple of roofs, right?
Yeah.
And what I would do in my area, if we had a weather system come through, I would just call them and say, hey, this is Brian, the roofer again. Do you have any roof problems? What's going to happen when we have a weather system come through, all roofers get busy. And their roofer is going to drop the ball at some stage. So either they're going to drop the ball or they'll just appreciate the fact that Brian always checks up on them after a weather system. And if that guy says, yes, I've got a problem, I want a truck that's ready to fix it.
Yep.
Right? So I want to be there. I just have to call my guys and say, make sure you close up that job. I don't want it leaking. And go fix this one. You've got everything you need. And now I've got a client who thinks I'm a rock star, right?
Yeah.
And I'm also going to be saying to him, by the way, while we were up there, my techs noticed a few issues. I'm going to come and personally do a full inspection of your roof because as a professional, I feel it's my duty to let you know what else is wrong with it.
No, and I think this is super smart, right? You mentioned HVAC earlier and how they've kind of got it figured out. But you think about it, like when those guys come, even to do general maintenance, they're always looking. They come back with a list of recommendations, but they also have the parts in their truck.
Yep.
So if you say, you know what? Yeah, just go ahead and fix it since you're here. They're able to do that. It's not like, okay, we'll schedule you next Tuesday and we'll be back. They're ready to go right there and they're closing that deal on the spot. It's interesting too, because I just did a podcast with another individual and we always talk about speed to lead, like how quick can you get in contact with the lead? But he said, take it one step further and we call it race to face. And so like this is a perfect example of that, right? Is if you call that guy and he says, yeah, I do have an issue and my roofer's dropping the ball. If you can get there, you just took that job away from that other guy.
Exactly. And then the next race you into is getting that proposal done and delivered professionally. on a re-roof situation, I want to be very attentive, very alert, but I'd like to be the last guy to present. Because by that time, my client has learned a whole lot of things from these other roofers who are presenting against me, and I can answer all those questions. On a service situation, 24 hours to proposal. Inspection to proposal, 24 hours. Non-negotiable. Means you're going to need some good software. And I happen to notice a name.
I need like one of those foam fingers, right?
You can just point with your head.
Well, this has been fantastic, Brian. I think a lot of great information. And I think there's just so much opportunity there that is potentially being left on the table right in your own backyard. On the residential side, you tend to saturate a market and then you got to move out, expand or grow or move into the next market. Everybody, for the most part, has, unless you live in some of the small towns in Kentucky, you probably have big box stores with flat roofs down the street from your house. I can tell you here where I'm at, we have an endless supply of them. You could probably do years of work here and they all just got hit by hail. It's like a whole nother avenue. And like you said, service could be your ticket in the door and then you just grow from there.
Exactly. And, you know, I love what you said about the local market, because let's just take a company I happen to know did 80 million in a very limited area where there were about 8 million people. So if we did the math, and by the way, we have proven this in other areas as well, but I just want to use this one example.
Yeah.
You could do 10 million out of a million people. You could do 5 million with 500,000.
Yeah.
So you don't need a huge market. You just need to be a good service provider. Yeah. Everybody has a roof.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, the flat roofs ultimately require more babysitting, more maintenance than your residential roof is ever going to need, unless you're in some type of crazy storm market. You live in Tornado Alley or something.
And then it's hit or miss.
And then, like you said, acts of God there. But here, it doesn't matter. Everybody sees the sun. Everybody's got degradation going on.
Yeah. And even a market like California or New Mexico, I tease those guys and I say, okay, well, you don't actually do roofing. You make shade. What happens is those roofs get so much time to deteriorate when it does rain, guaranteed leak if they're not maintaining them.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, this has been great, Brian. We'll probably have to have you back for a part two of this, because I feel like
we'll
just
have to be
like...
quick, because look how old I am.
You'll have to do it next week, right? Just to be safe.
We sort of spoke about the structure of what your business should be when we didn't touch all of it, but we should also talk about the process of how you should run that organization. And I like to talk about it in four phases. Contact to contract. What does it take from finding someone to getting a contract and hopefully a deposit? Project preparation, because I only make money when they're on the roof. So I want to prepare really well. Project execution. How do I make sure I execute well? And actually, execution involves marketing again, which is a really awesome thing. And then how do I get paid quickly? The other half, I hope, we're collecting, not all of it.
Yeah. And that's a unique piece to commercial too. How is the whole financial side of it handled? A great opportunity here for us to do volume two of this for sure. But thank you, Brian, for jumping on. This has been incredible information. This is top of mind for a lot of our residential roofers that are using our platform is, how do I get into that? We're not really sure how to break into commercial. And if we do, what do we do? I think honestly, the thought is I have to go learn how to re-roof right away, right? One of the things that I was thinking too is, for someone that maybe commercial roofing is still fairly foreign, service is a great way to learn the ropes too.
Absolutely. And you've got time, you've got a lot of help. And I want to talk to every one of your clients that are interested in this.
Nice. How would they get in touch with you, Brian, if they were interested in having a conversation with you? They're looking to go into commercial roofing a bit. What's the best way to contact you specifically?
Believe it or not, I'm going to give you my cell number, because I answer my phone. Right?
There you go.
Now, we do have a website. It's Service Advantage. I teased my partner, let's start a company and spell our name wrong, right? But it's serviceadvantage.net. And honestly, I will answer you. If I'm on a call like this, you'll get a message. Leave me a message and I'll call you back, or you can text me. It's 954-268-6938. And that'll give you a clue as to where I learned my roofing. We still keep an apartment down there on the beach.
Nice. And now you're in the mountains.
Yeah, I'm in the mountains.
Well, thank you, Brian. I really appreciate it. Like I said, this has been a ton of great information, and we've just tip of the iceberg here. I think there's a ton more we could talk about. We can get you back on for a round two of this, and we could dive a little bit deeper into the back half of it and the structure of how we want to get set up. But one thing I think that we should note here, though, even though we're talking about a different process and maybe a slightly different structure of how we're building this thing here in the last couple of minutes, I just want to talk about how you can very easily run this in parallel to what you're doing on the residential side.
Absolutely. And that's really my most successful clients who've come from the residential side. You do not give that up. What am I adding? If you're a reasonably sized residential company, I'm adding one truck and two techs, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to continue our marketing. We're going to continue our branding. We can grow it that way. Yeah. So it's not a huge stretch. Once you're in the game, there's a lot of help you can get from manufacturers. There's a lot of help you can get from the NRCA. You can get help from us. I put out training all the time. I'm actually doing one right now, a 14-part series of getting into commercial, just talking about what you're getting to, what are the different roof decks, etc. So there are plenty of resources. And then all those guys that you said I trained.
They're running around. All the commercial experts, right? Learned everything they know from Brian. So take advantage of his cell phone number there that he gave you. Thank you, Brian. Thanks, I really appreciate it. This has been a great conversation. And like I said, hopefully we can do it again here soon. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Hopefully you got some good nuggets out of that. And look for hopefully a round two here with Brian as we continue to talk commercial. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will see you next time on the Roofer Report.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening. Check us out next time on the Roofer Podcast. But until then, be sure to like us, subscribe to us, and check out all our other episodes on YouTube and Spotify.